Soldier Field, 24-17. Bears trying to get their 10th win. Here's the boot up in the air. Going up for it. Allen Robinson, he's got it!
I want to see the Bears give him an opportunity to prove that he can do this.
He's got the ball at the 43-yard line.
When all the signs in the world were there.
I think that'll be a fade to black moment with Allen Robinson taking it out of the air.
That's what you're really hoping for, that they really contribute to the team each year and that you build a great base and foundation.
And these loyal fans have been rewarded for their loyalty.
It was awesome. We picked up right where we left off. It was fantastic.
And they have a Bears team to be proud of right now. Takes the snap, takes a knee, they head to the field. The Bears have won it!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of 34 to Glory. I'm your host, Tyler Flesh, joined by my father and co-host, Brian Flesh.
Hey there, Bears fans.
And right when I did that.
And we had a bit of a malfunction right there.
There we go. We're back.
Good recovery. Wow. Well, last night, son, was a win-win situation for the first time all year for the Chicago, for our Bears, because we not only won a game. By the way, that game was just very boring and hard to watch, but we did win, which meant that we improved our chances of getting a first round pick, and we might end up having the first and second pick of the first round.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's not the first round pick. It's the pick overall.
Yeah.
This game was something, right? Look, even as fans of both teams,
it was
like,
ugly.
If you were a fan of both teams, it was hard to watch. Tyson Bagent, not the guy. Definitely not the guy. I mean, it's just not there. He missed some really wide open looks, but
Hold on.
Yeah. Don't jump the gun quite yet. Let me get there. Why I took a deep breath, why I paused is because I wanted to say this. I don't want to go back to the coaching every time, but it is clear and it is beyond. It is beyond, like, you can just tell. Excuse me, I'm getting all choked up about this.
Oh, my God.
You can get...
Are you Kerklept? Kerklept?
You can just tell that it's coaching. Fields was missing guys wide open, right? Down the field. And everyone's like, oh, Fields can't seize the field. No. Look, guys, there's something going on with the coaching because Bagent missed. Tyler Scott was the most wide open I've ever seen. Now, also, Bagent stopped running. You can clearly tell... He is overcoaching the shit out of the player. Getsy wants him to fit his system.
A pocket quarterback who never leaves the pocket.
But whatever that system is, we don't even know what that system is. It's not even a pocket passer so much as the reads, too. You know what I mean? I'm not just saying that, Dad. You're right. I'm not taking anything away from what you're saying. But it's also the simple fact of... Why aren't we seeing guys? Why isn't he progressing through his reads right? Why can't he identify the coverages? And then it dawns upon you. Why is Justin Fields over there consoling him? Oh, because Justin Fields is a good teammate and a good player. Where is Luke?
Not to be seen.
You're getting all choked up too.
Now I'm getting choked up too. But so one of two things is happening. Either Getsy's over there and they're never showing it. Right?
I don't think so.
That could be a possibility.
I don't think so. But
you never see them together.
But do you really think that? Because they show him looking at the tablet with some other guy and Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, every time they've shown him, that's exactly how they've shown him. And you're thinking, seriously? Like, this is a rook and you're not going over and helping a young rookie out? You should be in his ear constantly.
It doesn't even matter the rookie. It doesn't even matter the rookie aspect of it, Dad. It really doesn't.
Well, a rookie needs even more assistance, does he, than a veteran?
Yes and no. I mean, define veteran. Justin Fields is still trying to learn. And I would say no to the veteran. The veteran needs just as much help. If it's a new system, which it is, if I come into a workplace and I have a new design, a new layout, a new set of ways to do things, just because you've been there forever doesn't mean, so I don't have to explain myself to you now? Because that's the way he's acting. He is acting like, hey, here's my system. Figure it the fuck out.
Yeah, adjust, right?
It's not. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. It was a good win, even though it was ugly and pathetic.
I love my Bears, but talk about hard to watch. Defense, man. I know we haven't gotten into it, man. But I thought Sweat was.
We're gonna get to Sweat.
Yeah.
But before Sweat. Before we get to Sweat,
okay,
we need to talk about the press conference that happened before the game.
Oh my God, that was incredible, Tyler.
For those who have not heard it,
yes.
You're about to hear it now.
Oh, this is amazing, and when you listen to it, I want to tell you, you have not dropped acid before listening to it. Though it will feel like you've dropped acid or smoked way too much marijuana, or did a combination of both.
Here we go.
Here we go. And a one.
Scratch that.
And a two.
Hold on.
As we are experiencing a little technical difficulty here, and we're about ready to go, but I could not believe this. The first time I saw this, I had to see it again.
Cleared to go right now.
All right, we're clear.
All right, we're clear.
You know what? As bad as we were just there, it's even worse in the interview. Let's get to the interview.
Yeah.
I'm medically cleared to go right now, and he's getting better, though. I mean, he's accuracy's improving. He's throwing it better, and you know, he's starting to do more and more and more. So we'll see where it goes. And right now we're listing him as doubtful, and we'll see where it goes from there.
If he's not medically cleared, well, how come doubtful versus out?
Yeah, just to see. We got to give him one more day. But he's... he's working hard, and it's getting better every day, so we'll see where it goes.
He's not playing tomorrow.
Yeah, he's not playing.
Hasn't the medical staff seen given the clearance yet? What is it? I'm having trouble understanding. He's not playing, but he's doubtful. Is he out or doubtful?
Now he's listed as doubtful.
But you're saying that he's out. He's not going to play.
We'll see where it goes. The chances are doubtful, 51% that he's in or out, and it's going to be, we'll see where it is. We got a little time left, but again, we'll declare him out when he's out. Right now, we're still listening to him as doubtful.
But will he go through any sort of pregame work tomorrow?
He may.
I mean, that is unbelievable.
I've heard politicians be clearer than that. I mean, you walked away from that going, okay. I mean, he says one thing, then he contradicts it, and then he does a lot of what I call coach speak. And I mean, you can tell the reporters are just like, "What? So is he in? Is he out? Is he doubtful? What are you saying?" I mean,
that's how we started off the game going in, and. To me, the locker room is already gone. Everything that we, I think, have talked about on this podcast already, and we don't have to hammer it home. I had to play that because if our listeners have not heard that, they need to hear it. There's no more defending this man. He is an idiot. And I'm not trying to be rude. I'm really not. He's an idiot. And I could identify the journalist's voice was Jason Leisure. He's part of the Levitard show, or was a long time ago when I was listening. But you could tell he goes, wait a minute. He's out, but he's doubtful. Is he doubtful or is he out? He goes, right now he's doubtful, but he's not playing tomorrow. Correct. It's like, to sit here, like, you don't know how to work a room. You know what? My whole thing, too, and I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just being flat out honest. If you can't talk to the media and the press and you're horrible at it, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, Bill Belichick's never been able to talk to the media.
Well,
nor wanted
to. That's by choice. This is not by choice. This is stupidity. I'm not even kidding. This is just stupid. This is the dumbest thing I've ever fucking heard. Like, I mean, I'm being honest here. I sat here and I was like, I can't believe he's saying this aloud. This is the stuff... You know what this reminds me of? This is like before you go to an interview and you're talking to yourself in the mirror and you're like, ooh, don't say that. He just went with it.
Yeah.
He didn't do a talk in the mirror. The mirror was the media. And what I'm trying to say is, if you can't do that, at least win games. He's not winning games. He now has, what, 3 wins in each season?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the worst record in Bears history for any Bears coach at this point in time.
I mean, he's done. There's no chance he comes back.
No.
I mean, I know we're bad, but we're not going to put up with that. We're not going to be that bad.
Yeah.
As far as the game goes, let's get back into it. Montez Sweat, we sign him, and I know, listen, it's a bad team. That is a bad Panthers team. But, man, this dude still balled out. I mean, we had 10 sacks going into the year, right?
Yes.
And we had 4 that game, correct?
Yes, we led the league in the fewest number of sacks. We had 10 going into that game, got 4 last night. So, you know, we literally, you know, we're on an unbelievable pace for sacks compared to who we are and who we have been.
Sorry, 3.
We have three?
Sorry.
I thought we had four. I thought we had 4 too. So I must have miscounted one.
But still, I mean, you go from 10 to 3, and the amount of pressure that he was getting on, and you know what cracks me up is how we have him on a snap count. That kills me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, he's got to learn the plays. Eberflus, newsflash. You're not that complicated.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, he can barely get through a press conference. I would love to see what his book looks like. Cover 2. What else are we doing, coach? That's it.
God, I would. Can you imagine what? Explain. How's Everflub ever going to explain a complex defensive structure when you can't tell someone, the press, that a person is in or out?
Right. And, you know,
I mean,
our defense really came through this game.
They did.
And you can tell, I know it's a bad team, but Eddie Jackson helps, man. Having Eddie back there
absolutely.
Helps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The person that hasn't helped all year is Stevenson.
You know, he's the most picked on corner in the entire NFL.
And you know why? Because people watch tape. NFL players and NFL teams watch tape. And listen. If I was playing against this, I would be throwing against him all the time. I think one time last night, did he get his head back and actually
he broke up, and then he did the sword celebration.
He put his sword in
the holster.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that was the first time all frickin' year I saw him, one, be within a couple yards of the person he's guarding, and two, actually turn his head around as the ball was coming to him.
Right.
Usually what he's doing is having his back and his head looking directly at the guy he's guarding, usually hits the guy before the ball comes in, right?
I mean, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, he struggles, man.
Other than that, though,
yeah,
you sign Sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Newsflash, you need to sign Jalen Johnson.
Yeah.
Kid's a stud.
Yep.
When you have 33, 4, 6, and 9, Brisker, Gordon, Johnson, and Jackson back there, man, I'm telling you. And now you got Montez Sweat, who is putting consistent pressure on.
Yeah.
My goal, what I would do, and I'm being dead serious, I sign Jalen Johnson. I give him money. He's damn good. You drafted him. He's worth it. You got him as steal, by the way. He tore his ACL. He came out of Utah. No one wanted him, really. He fell back. You got a steal. Pay the steal. He's worth it. 2, go out and get another pass rusher. I know that sounds ludicrous, but
no,
why not?
No, it's not. It's not ludicrous.
But you know what I mean? Like, they go, I feel like the Bears always do this. Okay, Montez Sweat, check. Could you imagine if we got Pepper's help?
Oh, my goodness. Well, again, think of how Sweat's rushing helped other people get sacks last night.
Exactly, but that's my point.
Yeah.
They're going to – what you just said is key, is so key and so relevant to this conversation. They're going to look at that and say, good enough. Oh. You know what? You know they are. You're shaking your head. I know people can't see this because you know they are. They're going to say, good enough. No. Yeah. Man, because – here's the thing. Players have bad games. The Boses have bad games. Everyone has a bad game. You never know when that bad game is going to come. Hopefully, you can make up for it, you know, on the other line.
Right.
On the other side of the line with another stud. I really think that the way we're building, we have foundational pieces. I don't know how good our defense can be under Eberflus. I know it can't be. I know it can be averagely bad, if that makes sense. But what I'm saying is the talent that we have is there. The talent, and I can't wait to see what someone does with said talent. On the opposite side of the ball, we're not far off on the offensive line. Wright is going to be an absolute stud. Jenkins is playing guard. He's getting there. We got to get rid of Patrick. We got to find a new center. Whitehair is good at guard. He cannot play center. Whitehair is atrocious at center. He can't snap the ball.
Yeah.
You know, and we can fill in the other pieces is what I'm saying. But, like, I hope we don't rely on our two studs in Darnell Wright on one side of the ball and Montez Sweat now on the other side of the ball.
We can't. Look at teams that are competitive. Kansas City Chiefs invested heavily in the offensive line. Eagles invested heavily in the offensive line.
They have the best offensive line in football.
Absolutely they do.
Like so, hands down.
So if you want to be competitive in the NFL, you may not get a lot of star power. I mean, they don't half even the people following teams don't sometimes know the names of their offensive linemen or who's playing for them. But it's so critical.
Well, Eagles fans know who Lane Johnson is.
Yeah, they also know who Kelsey is.
Yeah, but Lane Johnson, have you seen his stats? He hasn't given up a sack in over a year.
He's amazing.
And he's playing hurt. I mean, there's only one better tackle that comes to mind, and that's Trent Williams in the 49ers, because that man... Yeah. Did you see that video when there was a fight? A fight broke out. I forget the teams. It was the Niners and someone else. I think Niners and Browns. Niners and Browns were getting into a fight, and Trent Williams just comes jogging over, and everyone stops. That's a bad man.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't touch anyone. He doesn't say anything. They look over.
And this is the NFL, right? This is the testosterone of testosterone players.
And then that guy comes up to you.
And everyone quiets down. Yeah. That's
a bad man.
That is a very, very bad man. But so I would like a semi-bad man.
I'm not trying to get
on our line.
We have one.
Well, I know, but another. Please, another.
No, I totally agree with you. I'm trying to stay more positive on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to do our route. I feel like sometimes we've lately been on repeat mode.
Yeah.
And it's not our fault. We have to, I mean, you got to point out the coaching problems. But I'm also letting people know, hey, guys, I'm not trying to soar high here off one win. I'm really not. It was a good win. Let's not do any more winning.
Yeah, it's a good win for the draft. Let's lose now.
Right. And I think
we'll be okay with losing.
Right. We play Detroit next, right?
Yeah, I believe we do.
We'll look that up. You can tell we prepare for this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our production meetings are they're
out of sight. We spend hours in production and rewrites.
Our production meetings are yelling on the phone. Like last night, I'm like, "What the fuck are we doing?"
That's right. That is our entire production meeting. It truly is.
So what I'm gonna say then next is again, Bajent struggles. I'm starting to think he's not very good. Again, goes back to coaching. Same mistakes are being made. Like everyone says, oh, he gets the ball out faster. We've already talked about all that. But like when he gets time, Dad, he's still struggling. The route running's not there. And to me, it just shows you, I'm going to be frank on this one. Frank Reich.
Ooh, so isn't that cute?
So here's the thing, though. Don't you think he should have done better against us?
Oh, absolutely.
Because here's why we suck. If you're watching this game and you're a Bears GM, you're going to be happy for the win. But then if you're Ryan Poles, aren't you sitting back going, damn, Frank hired Eberflus. He should know his defense. He went up against him all the time in Indy. Damn, he really struggled. damn, that's who we picked to be our head coach. It's like, da-da-da-da.
Yeah. And by the way, I looked it up. We've got the Lions at the Lions. Then we're at the Vikings. Oof. Then we're and then the Lions are at the Bears. Those are the next three games. Aren't they? Bears and Lions, November 19th. Bears at Vikings, November 27th.
Yeah.
Lion and Bears, December 10th.
Yeah. So okay. We'll talk about that game coming up. As far as I feel like, and I'm really not trying to get too high on us. You just look at the paper and we're not, I feel like it's all coaching and we're not that far off. Am I crazy to think
this? No, you're not crazy at all. That's been one of the themes and why I think we've been so rough on the coaching, at least for me, why I've been so rough on the coaches is that we do have the players. But you don't know what they can do because they're in a system that's failed them.
Do you think if coaching is right and what little we've seen of Justin Fields, do you think he could take us to the playoffs? I'm not saying I'm starting small. I'm just saying. I'm not saying Super Bowl. I'm not saying a deep run. Do you think from what you've seen so far, if we switch the coaching around and we get an offensive-minded coach in, do you think that he could or no?
Absolutely, I think he could.
See, I am right there with you, and I'm not trying to be delusional.
No.
But you talk about big games. This guy's played in the big games, man. He's played in them, like in college. I mean, you don't just get to that place and say, no, I'm good. Like, these guys are competitors, and as far as Bajan goes, man, keep him as the number two.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, here's the deal. Could you imagine having a coach that actually looked at Fields' strengths and listened to Fields and looked at what he's good at and designed plays, not only around Fields, but around what Darnell Wright can do, around what your running backs can do, around every aspect, what Moore can do.
If I'm being honest with you, if I am an offensive coordinator, I'm licking my chops looking at this Bears team, because with Jenkins on the same side as Darnell Wright was he is a rookie manhandling grown-ass men and throwing them to the ground. I would run off his backside all day long.
For those of you who may not have watched the game last night, he opened up a hole for Foreman one time that just you could have driven two semis through. I mean, he just literally flattened the guy. Well, I mean, and I think it even surprised Foreman like how wide it was.
Right. I mean, and if you didn't watch the game, you could have been like my Uncle Tony, who talked to me. He goes, Ty, I just didn't have the game. I didn't know where to find it on. And I said, Uncle Tony, it's on Amazon Prime. He goes, since when? So my Uncle Tony doesn't watch a lot of football. So I just had to bring that up. That made me laugh because he's from he lives in Carolina. So he's like, well, it's a battle of the two bad teams. But it cracks me up because a lot of people still think that the Bears, you know, like the Panthers are going to have the number one overall pick. I've heard podcasts and stuff go, well, what are they going to do with it? I go, guys, they traded it away to us.
Yeah.
We have said pick.
Yes, exactly. That train has left the station, man.
So we talked about Fields. We talked about the team. Let's go back to Fields a little bit here. There is a weird, weird narrative going around. We talked a little bit about it last time, but it's becoming more and more relevant. That polls is supposedly leaking information to NBC and stuff, and all the other people saying like they're going to move on from Fields. And ever since those rumors got brought up a couple weeks ago, it's just been popping up. And they love them some Tyson Bagent. And I understand. Charismatic. Dad, hilarious. I get it. Guys, he's not Justin Fields. Justin Fields is way more dynamic of a player. Bagent, though, can win games. Bagent's young enough to where I still want to go, maybe he could still be a starter. even with all the turnovers, I'm being dead serious. I think a guy with that much confidence in his self-ability and a guy who can play at that level from that like, he can play.
Yes.
He just has to get used to it. And again, coaching, I won't harp anymore.
Yeah. But he's
I'm trying to say, though, real quick, is it's very weird that this narrative has been, like, they kept saying last night, like, that's what Justin Fields needs to do more of. He needs to get the ball out quicker. He needs to do this. Listen, Bajent was struggling when he had time in the pocket. There was no one open.
Yeah.
They had our routes down. They had everything down. But it's not just that them. It's not just the Panthers. It's every single team. And the sad part, Dad, is if you go down the list of the teams that we played this year, all of them aren't very good. Packers aren't good. Saints aren't good. Bucks aren't good.
We played Kansas City. That was probably
that. But that's it.
That's it, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
You took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the deal. I like Matthew Berry. I listened to his podcast. I think he has some really good insights. And he brought up something really I thought was really good. And that is, you know, everybody's talking about Bajent right now. And yes, he's charismatic. He's a likable guy. He's got a lot of moxie. You know, there's nothing against the guy. But he brought up the statement of the coaching staff is talking so much about Bajent right now, and they're talking so little about Field. Where's the affirmation for Fields? Like, you know, we appreciate everything he's done. We can't wait to get him back. I get it. The NFL is the here and now kind of league, but come on, man, this is your first string starting quarterback. You would think that you would attempt to build him up. Would you not try to build Justin Fields up? I mean, it's not happening. It's not happening from Getsy. It's not happening from Everflub. It's not happening from anyone that I can see. They will comment on his injury, but that's not building the guy up.
No, it's not. And I think he does have a bright future. I think, you know, when you have a guy that young breaking NFL records, now, I know, they're not throwing records, Tyler. They're rushing records. It don't matter. They're records. You know, mm-hmm. Everyone thought Michael Vick was just a pure runner. Goes to prison, comes back out. He gets Chip Kelly's offense. Say what you will, he tore it the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching matters. It just does. And I'm gonna stick with this theme until we get a better coach.
Well, coaching absolutely matters. I mean, again, you've brought up, and I think it's a wonderful example. And if people haven't listened to our podcast consistently, imagine Justin Fields in place of Brock Purdy.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Just think about that. Think of how different the systems are. Think of how different the coaching is. Think how different the professionalism of that San Francisco franchise is now.
Here's the thing, too, Dan, the scary part, because I'm going to touch on what you just said. Chris Sims talked about Kyle Shanahan does not want a cocky quarterback. He does not want the Aaron Rodgers, the look at me, I'm the franchise. Fields fits that mold.
Perfectly.
Fields is very quiet, very humble. I mean, as far as off-the-field stuff goes, you can't ask much more from Fields. Does Field throw the prettiest ball? No. And what I mean by that, guys, is the spiral. He does not throw a tight spiral. It's kind of a little lobby, but he throws some beautiful balls. But you just look at his body of work, and it's like he's young. He can get coached up. To me, what you do, and I've already told you this, you pick up his fifth year, and if you don't like him, then get him competition. Go draft someone. Go draft the, you know, Drake May, or I'm still out on Caleb Williams. I know it might not be a popular take because they're like, dude, he just cried. What's the big deal? It's not the fact that he cried and, like, did the Lambo leap to cry.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
The fact is that You're crying over a loss? Like, come on, man. Like, it's not even a championship game or anything. And I'm sitting here scratching my head like, God damn, like, this boy, show a little like, you know, toughness. Like, toughness in the aspect of it's just one game. You got to move on. Like, you're not going to win everything. You're not going to be handed down on a silver platter. That's why I'm out on him. But if that's what you want to do, do it. He's getting all these Patrick Mahomes comparisons. I understand comparisons, Dad, as well as the next person, but we need to dial down on some of these comparisons that people like to do because there's only one Patrick Mahomes, there's only one Aaron Rodgers, there's only one Drew Brees, there's only one Peyton Manning, there's only one Tom Brady. Like, you can keep going on.
Yeah. Well, and I gotta,
And I'm not saying you can't compare, but I'm just saying, like, before this season started, all the analysts and said he is a can't miss.
Mm-hmm.
He's the biggest can't miss we've seen since like Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, really? And they're like, since Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Like, they're saying that's how big of a can't miss he is, and I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but quick, I just want to ask you, do you agree though? Like,
absolutely.
Pick up the fifth year. Yeah. Why?
You don't have anything to lose.
Exactly. Thank you. And we have the cap space.
Absolutely. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Why not make sure you have the gem before you flush it down the
toilet? Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? This gem might just simply need the polishing of a different coach and a different system to make it really shine.
And listen, I'm fully fine. This podcast, we are very open with being wrong.
Yeah.
Because guess what? We're wrong a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we're wrong on Fields, we're wrong. You know.
But give him an opportunity to be wrong under another system and another coach.
Also, like, every other position has competition pretty much. Yeah. But the quarterback position doesn't really, right? Like, once you're certified, you're certified.
Right.
Why not bring someone else in? Because the way I look at it is, what's the worst that happens? He beats Fields out. Oh, no, we have to pay Justin for, we picked up his fifth year. We're going to go bankrupt. No, it's like, it's chump change. Like, we have the capital to bring in high-level players, add on to this team, get even better. Hell, if we get high enough picks in the draft, which fingers crossed, you go out and get a quarterback, and then you could pair him with someone you are super high on, is Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, my God. That kid is amazing. I would love that.
Going to get ahead of this real quick.
Yep.
Hate the nickname Maserati Marv.
I do,
Gus
too.
Johnson tried that, and I was like, what, Maserati Marv? Yeah. It's just such a mouthful. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
It does not. It's kind of like you got to think about it before you say it. I hate kind of acronyms that you got to, you know, and nicknames you got to really think about. Now, am I about to say that right? Yeah.
I just felt wrong. Like my mouth was full when I said it. So, Maserati Marv.
So you know, I you know, here's one thing that was interesting for me, and I listened to Everflub during the halftime last night, and you know, there's a really a big part of me, Ty, that as a man, I really like him. As a person, I really like him, and I got to thinking, you know, there's lots of people I really really like, but it doesn't mean because I really really like you that you can do your job well at all. And I think that's the trap that Poles is in, and maybe some of the others in our organization, is that Everflub is a really likable guy. Luke Getzey, I have no idea. I mean, he doesn't come off nearly as likable as Everflub, but you know, I want to be clear that when I'm critical of him, it's really all about what you're putting on the field, the grade card you get each week. You're just not putting anything on the field that's of value, and you're not adjusting. And I guess that's the even bigger part. When you make mistakes, and you and I make them a lot, we do attempt to try to adjust and change our outlook and rethink our strategy and just don't continue to do the same old, same old. And that's the part about Everflub that I really, really dislike. And you know, I think Everflub, when he gets fired, needs to get with Arthur Smith and maybe they can open up a NFL coaching challenge school.
Yeah.
Look. You know, yeah. Can you imagine what that school would look like?
Yeah. I cannot. But yeah. It's going to be a very interesting offseason this year.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
It should be. It actually might kind of be a lot of fun.
You know, I would like to, and I'm going to reach back out to him, but I feel like with everything going on and maybe we don't have the best insight, but, you know, maybe to have Miguel back on and just kind of ask him instead of, since we've already had a podcast where he talked about, like, his career and stuff, maybe just ask him, like, hey, do you think, like, GMs know how, like, why can we see everything they can't? Like, yeah.
Miguel works for the Browns. Just as a reminder to some of the people out there that.
Yes, yeah. Very good. I'm sorry. I just figure everyone listens to every episode. That's probably not the case. But yes, we do know someone that works with the Browns, and he sells tickets and boxes and stuff like that. And he's a very cool guy, very humble guy, and he's worked his ass off to get where he is, and it'd be interesting to kind of pick his brain and also like see how much like he talks to those people. Mm-hmm. Does he talk to those people? Because obviously, I'm not saying that he'll have all the answers, but he's got to know more than us, right?
Yeah,
like we're way on the outside.
Yeah, we're outsiders looking in. There's no doubt about it. The only thing we've ever had an inside track to is smoking meat and drinking beer. We've got an inside track on both of those.
Yeah, that would be fun to do sometime at a Bears game when we get good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad we haven't been to Lambeau yet. It's one of our goals.
It is. I want to one day go to
Maybe with the new regime, if they're any good. Maybe if we actually hire someone that gives a shit about this team.
That'd be great, buddy. I'm hoping to do that. You know, it's not like I got, you know, another 30 years to do this.
We don't know that.
Yeah,
there. I mean, hey, listen, bud, I'm gonna be honest with you, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
I've read articles that say drinking beer and smoked meat, just pure. It gives you longevity.
Oh, okay, okay, all right.
I was trying to say procure. No, I'm gone.
It's okay. I'll take the longevity. So the more
The not so smart vocabulary podcast.
It's okay. The more smoked meat. So the lesson there is the more smoked meat we eat and the more beer we drink, the greater our longevity will get. Is that
I better
correct?
Slow down. I'm going to live to 500.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You know, I love that thinking. And by the way, you know, we've not at all looked into the science of any of this.
Pretty good that you put a disclaimer on that so we don't get sued. Someone dies when they're like 35. Yeah. They're like,
hey,
sons of bitches.
We listened to those guys. Hey, we started smoking meat and drinking beer. Oh, yep. We didn't last very long.
So,
yeah.
Let's get in the Lions game a little bit. I think we talked off air about this, but I think we're going to get into a little more around the league stuff, too, at the end. I know we've done it before, but just with this season going the way it is, I know this is a Bears podcast, and we will talk for the majority about the Bears, but there might be 10 minutes, 10 to 15, where we just talk about the league, because you and me...
We love football.
We love football. So, let's talk about the Lions game. Yeah. Lions game coming up.
Yeah. It's at the Lions.
So, we look away, or...
Yeah, this is going to be a rough one, buddy. This is going to be a really rough one.
I will be watching this in Austin, Texas. I will be in Austin.
That's right. You'll be at a wedding, won't you?
Well, the wedding is on Saturday, and then after the wedding, I was going to fly out on Sunday, but I was tired. It would have been the second time I went to Denver, and then I flew out during the game, and I'm tired of flying out during Bears games. So I said, you know what? I'll fly out Monday, and then I'll watch the Bears.
Good
so,
call. Good yeah. call. So you so you'll be at some sports bar, I take it.
Unfortunately, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be at a sports bar. Unfortunately, maybe the Armadillo.
Okay.
That's where my buddy loves to go watch games. Unfortunately, I'm going to be surrounded by Cowboys fans, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That game, I mean, hey, I'm glad there's a bunch of other TVs on because I think we are going to get obliterated.
We will get schnozzered. Is that even a word?
It is now.
Okay.
You know what? I'll tell you what, too. Dan Campbell is one of those coaches because they're coming off a bye, correct?
They are.
He is going to hammer home that do not have this be a trap game.
Well, they're coming off a bye this week. They're playing this Sunday. The Lions.
You know, sometimes I forget it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I forget that we played. Some days the days just blend together.
Just wanted to clarify that. So it'll be 2 weeks after their bye that they play us.
So we're on the mini bye, which doesn't mean shit because we can't coach. It means everything for some health, some rest. As far as that game goes, I think Dan Campbell is a smart enough coach. He's played in the league. He's not going to let these guys slip up. Every game matters. The Bears should be two easy wins on their schedule, but also not to overlook the Bears. I think we have a hell of a time with St. Brown. I think he goes just off on us.
Oh, absolutely. Easily. He goes 175 yards and two touchdowns.
I think that game's going to get ugly quick.
It will. And you know...
Can I be honest with you? I think two things, and correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know why I feel this way, but I do. It's either going to be a blowout and just downhill real quick, or we're going to win.
Well, I tell you
what. I know that sounds crazy.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound crazy. I'll tell you where I'm at with it. Sneakily speaking, if you look at the Bears' last four games, against the run, we're actually like I think number three.
But wouldn't it be in the NFL? But wouldn't it just be so the Bears to go and fuck this up and win?
It might. It absolutely might. So I'm not so sure that Gibbs and Montgomery can really run on us, but what I know for sure is Goff can throw on us.
Yeah, but what I'm saying and what makes me more nervous is like if they don't start blowing us out right away, I'm going to sit here going, oh, shit, we might win this game.
So I tell you what, if I were them, I would look for number 29, Stevenson, and I would throw at him all frickin' night.
I would, too. I don't care who's on him.
Yeah. I mean, I would just figure out where he's going to be, where he's in the zone. And if I was Goff, I would be looking for number 29 all day long. And if you don't get the pass completed, you will get an interference call.
Definitely.
So I think they can throw on us. Their tight end, that Laporta, he is good. I mean, not just a little good. That kid as a rookie is good.
And
it often takes two, three years for rookie tight ends to even show anything, and he has been amazing.
And also, though, it will be fun. I know this sounds crazy to say, but it will be fun to watch Hutchinson go up against Wright. I think that's a good matchup.
Oh, it is a good matchup. Very much so.
I mean, I know
Hutchinson doesn't play for...
Their pass rusher.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was thinking of someone else.
It's Alan Hutchinson, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Why was I thinking of the Hutchinson? Wasn't there a Hutchinson that went from Detroit to the Vikings?
No, that's Hockenson.
Okay. Hutchinson, Hockenson, you know.
Tomato, tomato.
There you go, buddy. Thank you for the help.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah sorry about that.
I think if this game stays close, I might do a little live bet on the Bears to win it and fuck us up, because that's what they would do. They would fuck this whole thing up, and I'm afraid of that, but I don't see it, but I'm saying, okay. what I'm saying is if it's close, Like, if the second quarter goes, let's say it's halftime and it's like Detroit's up 7-0 or 10-0, I'm going, oh shit, we could come back and win this.
I see that, but I'm here's my deal. Goff at home, pretty good. Now, December 10th, when the Lions got to play outside at Soldier Field and Goff's away, that would actually be the game that I think that we could, that if we wanted to screw ourselves and really win, that's a more winnable game.
I don't know. I think we're going to...
Look at Goff's away and home splits. I mean, he's really a different quarterback.
I disagree. I just think we're going to fuck it up in the most Bears way possible.
Well, I know.
We're gonna beat them at home, and like, wouldn't it be funny? The Bears 34, the Lions 3. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, that would drive me nuts. I'm sorry, but that would piss me off because one, it's not the Packers. That's the only team where if we could blow the Packers out 70-0, I would say, you know what? That's worth.
Yeah.
Not having the first overall pick.
Yeah.
But if it's Detroit, I'm like, come on, man. They haven't won shit in so long.
And I'm not that worried about the Vikings game because I bet you Jefferson's back.
Listen, buddy, focus. You're a week ahead. We're on the Lions.
I know, but we were kind of looking ahead, right? And we were talking about the Lions, the Vikings, and the Lions.
Oh, wait, we were not looking ahead. You were looking ahead. Okay. You went to, we could probably win at Soldier Field against them. Yeah. Let's just dial it in.
All right.
The reason I say that, we got to save some material, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We can't just blow it all up front and be like, and then come Vikings week go, well, remember we already talked about it?
All right. I'll save some for later, some tidbits for you folks out there.
So that's what I think is going to happen. It's either a blowout or we win. Either they blow us out or we win. I don't think it's going to be a close game. I don't see a close game in which the Lions win. I either see a blowout or the Bears win. I don't see it like being a grindy game, the Lions win on a field goal, last-minute touchdown. I just don't see it.
I don't either. I think they're going to throw all over us. I think they're going to get a commanding lead, and then I think in the fourth quarter they're just going to run the clock. That's what I see happening. The first three quarters they'll use to get a commanding lead, and the fourth quarter – they're going to be doing a lot of stuff on the ground, trying to run the ball and kill the clock. That's what I see.
You know, and what's crazy, too, is just to revert back to last night's game. If you look at their team on paper compared to our team, we should be miles apart. And that's really frustrating.
In miles apart in a good way or a bad way?
Yeah, miles apart. We should be miles apart from them. Okay. We're not. We beat them, Dad, 16-13. That's not miles a fucking part.
Yeah, not very. Not
like, if you look at the teams on paper, you're like, oh, and we did that with Tyson Bagent. That's what I'm saying. Like, look at the talent we have to the talent they have.
Yeah, that wasn't close, was it?
Not on paper, but it was in the actual game.
Yeah, which I guess that's why they always play the game, man.
I guess. Who knows? Fuck it. I just, I mean, the more I think about it, the more, see, I just get angry. I'm getting angry.
Yeah, I know. You can't go there, man. Don't get too far out ahead. We got to, as Bears fans. I mean, this is the Bears. Listen, I'm going to give some Bears classic survival advice here. One.
You should write a book, The Bear Survival Fan Guide.
I think I need to. And so here's the first chapter.
Wait, what's step one? Step one, have your fridge fully stocked with beer at all times.
Oh, that's
if you're not a drinker, have your beer fully stocked with whatever makes you sad.
That even comes before chapter one. That's the preface, man. That's the prelogue. That's the prelogue. You got to have your favorite beverages stocked. You got to have your deep dish pizza, your smoked meats, whatever. You got to have all your comfort food, and all of your alcohol has to be available to you in a quick and easy way, because you will be experiencing pain. The issue is, not will you be in pain.
I feel like every game's like that classic breaking up with your girlfriend where it's just you on the couch with a tub of ice cream crying into it.
Absolutely.
Eating your own tears as it melts your ice cream away.
There you go. That's a great metaphor too. So
it wasn't a metaphor.
Well, okay. Analogy.
It was reality.
Oh, okay. All right. So
A friend told me.
Okay. Yeah.
It happened to a friend of mine. It wasn't me.
Uh-huh. Calling in for a friend. I get it. So I guess where we're going with all this, it's still a long season, Bears fans, even though halfway done. It's not over. We've got some good losing. Okay. The way we have to look at this, is we've got some extremely good losing to do. And if you want to be a true Bears fan, you have to root on the side of a good, good loss. And sometimes those good losses are ugly, like last night.
But it's also like...
Well, actually, last night was a good win. I'm sorry.
But you know where I'm going
with a good loss?
Though? What I'm trying to say is like a good loss is when the players perform well, and even though you knew you weren't really in it, they perform well, and you're like, oh, man, we tried. And they're like, thank God we lost. Oh,
goodness gracious. We almost won that one. Thank God it didn't work our way.
So let's go a little bit and do a little bit around the league. We talked about it before. I haven't looked at the matchups yet. I'm going to pull them up on my phone. How concerned are we with the Dolphins?
I'm pretty concerned with the Dolphins. Against the better teams, they have really seemed
They don't have a winning record.
Yeah. Against the better teams, they really seem to struggle.
Again, they just don't win.
Yeah.
Like it's that bad. Yeah, like it's not like I'm not trying to call you out, but you're kind of like sugarcoating. They seem to struggle.
So I would say they're pretty close to a full panic on the Dolphins. Now, can they? I guess another way to look at the Dolphins is they're getting more healthy defensively, but part of what makes the Dolphins great was having a weak defense and they scored like hell on offense, right? That's what really made them fun to watch. Cause you know, they were putting up for a while. They're putting up 40 plus points against Denver. They put up 70 points.
This could all, and they're on bye this week. This could also be the worst week for matchups. Can I read them to you?
Yeah, they're bad. They're terrible this week, yeah.
Colts at Patriots, but that's actually in Germany.
Yeah, that's a 9:30 a.m. game.
I'm not mad at it.
I'm not either.
You know what I mean? If you're going to put a bad game on, dude, in the morning.
Yeah.
All you West Coast people out there, good luck. That's 6:30 your time.
Feels like a little... That's a little hypocritical being Bears fans saying if you're going to put a bad game on.
Now, am I crazy to think that this game's going to be an absolute blowout?
Which game is that, sir?
They have the line at 6.5 for the Bengals. It's 10 tight Texans. Texans at Bengals.
No, and I tell you why. Because Higgins is already out. Jamar Chase has been reported as having a back problem. And there's some question whether he will even play, which might put Tyler Boyd in as the number one.
It's not horrible.
It's not horrible, but look at Joe Burrow when Higgins and Chase are out.
All right.
I mean, Higgins not so much, but when Chase is out, Burrow drops off.
Now, I know what you're thinking. It can't get any worse than this.
Yeah, what?
It does. Packers at Steelers. Put the kids to bed.
Put yourself
to bed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What a horrible game.
Yeah. Well, here's Packers at Steelers. So
does that rival our game?
Yeah, that one comes close. I mean, first of all, the running backs in that game, oh, man. I mean, Najee Harris that's sad. And
we don't have to hit on every game.
I know. But hey, here's the other thing. Here's what I'm kind of excited for. I think.
Hold on. Yeah. Are you going to do a matchup?
Go ahead.
Don't do it yet.
Okay.
It gets worse, folks. Titans okay. at Bucks. That's oh. a horrible game. But don't.
That's a passing game.
Don't worry. There are two games. If you have multiple TVs, you know, these are the games you want to have it on.
Okay.
You have the Browns at the Ravens. That's going to be a hell of a game. That's a divisional game.
Yep.
In the AFC North. And then you have the 49ers going to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. Those are two really good games on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Jacksonville's going to throw the crap out of the ball against the 49ers.
But, I mean, look at that. You have yeah. the Browns at 5-3 going up against the Ravens that are 7-2. And then the Niners are 5-3 coming off a couple losses in a bye week and going to play Jacksonville, who is 6-2.
Yeah.
And Jacksonville's coming off of a bye.
Yeah.
Those two games might save it, but I mean, after that, Dad, I mean, I'll just round off the rest. We don't yeah. have to go through, but then it's Saints at Vikings. Ugh. Falcons at Cardinals. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Lions at Chargers. Nope. Giants and Cowboys. Pass. Commanders, Seahawks. Oh, dear God. And then the late night game. I mean, this is a bad Sunday. The late night game is the Commanders at the Seahawks. Oh, no, I already said that. Sorry. Yeah. I can't read my phone. The Jets at the Raiders.
Oh. What's the Monday night game?
Oh, it's bad. It's Broncos at Bills.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Are we worried? Like, are we worried about the Bills? I am.
Yeah,
they're not looking like the same team.
They are not looking like the same team. I agree totally. I agree totally. I got to ask you something, and I know that this is a little bit off track, okay? But it just, this guy bothers me more than anybody else in the NFL.
Aaron Rodgers is on. Oh, sorry. Yeah, go on.
Well, other than him, Arthur Smith. I find that man repugnant. I find him to be the greatest example of white arrogance, thin-skinned nobility coming from a rich daddy, and just absolutely is doing things his way or the highway.
Is his dad the one that created FedEx?
I don't think it's... I thought it was Home Depot.
That's Arthur Blank.
Arthur Blank. I'm sorry.
Arthur Blank is the owner of the Falcons.
But I think
Arthur Schmidt, it's someone head coach's yeah. dad created FedEx.
Yeah. Well, I know he comes from money, and not that money is bad. There's an air about him.
We just don't have any.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an air about him that. I can't imagine. There's no one else I hate listening to more than him when he gets up the microphone.
Whoa, that's bold. Eberflus?
No, I actually hate this guy more than Eberflub.
Ooh,
seriously?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
have you listened to him?
No.
He's a major b-hole.
You watch more TV than I do. I'm out on the road a lot, so
yeah. Yeah.
In his defense, he did shave his mustache.
Yeah. Now he just looks like a 70s porn star without the mustache.
So not a 70s porn star?
Anyway.
Look, a lot of games this week. A lot of time goes by. Ooh, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Jim Harbaugh suspended.
Yeah, I saw that. He cannot
be on the sidelines.
He can't be on the sidelines anymore for the rest of the season, right?
Pretty stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I get the punishment, but like, it's kind of weird because the NCAA always drags their feet on literally everything, and then they like just jump on this one. I mean, it clearly was a violation. It was, you know, it hadn't been proven cheating, but what is for certain is they violated the code. So a lot of people are trying to tie him to Chicago. Just remember, folks, Jim Harbaugh, the McCaskies did not get along towards the end. So the likelihood of him coming home is slim to none. Do you have a winner of the week?
Oh, my gosh. In this week, a winner?
A winner. A chicken dinner.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It already happened, man. It was last night.
Okay. You know what? I'm just filling time here until we get off. Real quick, though, I think Penn State wins, but I would take Penn State plus 4. A little gambling tip on the way out.
Well, who does Penn State play, sir?
Michigan.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, I will trust your judgment of college football, which is far in advance of anything. Hold on.
We did a disclaimer earlier. I do not watch a lot of college football. I just have a hunch. That's all.
Just a hunch. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Bet within your means. Bet responsibly. Man, I wish we had it like DraftKings or someone sponsoring this show, like a gambling site. That would be awesome.
That would be cool, wouldn't it?
It'd be great. But, right. Hey, you know what? We got to win. We're moving on. We'll probably get blown out against Chicago. But you know what? It's always a fun time when you
bear down.